Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there.
Hi, gang. This is Don Wilson, swinging wide the curtain on another 30 minutes of that stuff and stuff you've asked for in your letters to Old Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Our curtain is extra wide tonight because it cloaks the stage of the famous Hollywood Bowl. Yes, old Command is getting an airing under the stars. And here for our first guest is that new star you've asked us to air, that not-so-melancholy Dane, Victor Borge.
Thank you very much.
You may be seated.
I would like to play for you a little Mozart opera. This is a very short little opera. It's an opera written by Mozart, and that's why it's called a Mozart opera. He also wrote the music. It begins when the curtain rises, and the stage setting is a little forest. There are two trees, one over here and one over there. Or vice versa. It all depends on where you are sitting, of course. Thank you. First, the tenor comes in. He's supposed to meet his beloved, but she isn't there, so he hides behind a tree in order to surprise her when she comes in, which she does a little later, and she can't find him because he is hidden behind the tree, and she doesn't know it. As a matter of fact, she knows it because she saw that at rehearsals. But she pretends that he isn't there, so she hides herself behind the other tree in order to surprise him when he comes in later, which she doesn't because he's already there. So she's standing there behind one tree, and he's standing behind the other tree for about 20 minutes. And nothing happens except the music plays, the orchestra goes up, it doesn't mean a thing. Now, the chorus comes in, nobody knows why except Mozart, and he's dead. Finally, her father shows up. He's very sad because he just found out that she isn't his daughter. Now, this has nothing to do with the opera. I found that out myself. Anyway, he decides that she must die, and she sings her famous Die aria, and she dies. And that is the end of that. Now you hear the overture. First, the conductor's footsteps when he enters the pit. You think he's limping? He's not. He walks sideways. Here's the overture. This was the first part of the overture. Now you hear the second part, and that's exactly the same. Now the curtain rises. It's a very big curtain. Now the tenor comes in from the left. He's the little tall fellow. He comes in a single file. He goes behind the tree right away. Now the soprano comes in. She's one of these very big sopranos, you know. She comes in backwards, but nobody notices the difference. She goes behind the other tree. Now they're standing behind each tree, and the chorus comes in now. The light is dimmed, so you can hardly see them, and that's why they're dressed in a kind of cheap underwear. Because there's no use of buying expensive costumes when you can't see them anyhow. Now, here they come. They fool around a little and ask each other why they're there. They don't seem to know, as I told you. So they walk out again. Now they get the money and go home. Here comes the father. He's very mad.
My daughter, you must die.
My daughter, you must die. My daughter, you must die. My daughter.
You know, she doesn't understand so well.
My daughter, you must die.
And now she finally agrees, and she sings her death aria. Oh, must I die? La 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 la. Oh, must I die? La 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 la. And she dies. I would like to play the first part of Grieg's Piano Concerto by Grieg.
I like this girl, and you will too. She's one of the better singing and better looking ladies of lyrics. You hear her every week with Bob Burns, the mayor of the community of Canoga Park, and here she is now with a vocal enthusiast of the Community Chest of America, Shirley Ross, with Ray Sinatra conducting. Shirley Ross.
But blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things go so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Friday nights on the airwaves of this country are shaken loose from their moorings by two frantic gentlemen known as the Nose and the Haircut. So while they're enlarging the bowl to make room for the Nose, let's give a large greeting to the Haircut, the irrepressible Gary Moore.
Good thank you. Thank you very much, my friends, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Don, I want to tell you how wonderful and how appropriate it is to see you here tonight.
Well, it's appropriate to see you here.
Well, Don, it's more appropriate to see you. You know, if you could raise that stomach of yours about 10 inches, you'd have a community chest of your own. You do very well. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't until we were just rehearsing this script down in my dressing room a few minutes ago that I knew that Don Wilson was an oomph boy. He is. Every time he sits down in the Davenport goes oomph. He's the only man I ever stood on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl with and felt crowded.
Yeah, this bowl is a roomy little spot, isn't it?
Roomy? Don, the last time I appeared here, I sang a song called Little Boy Blue, and by the time the echo got back to me, it was Old Man Mose. And believe me, Don, Jimmy and I could use a little bit of this room, what with the housing shortage and everything.
Oh, is the schnoz living at your house nowadays?
Well, it was my house, Don, until the schnoz moved in with his Aunt Minnie, his Uncle Inda LaBonza, and their little brood of 14. Can you imagine, Don, 14, 6 boys and 7 girls?
6 boys and 7 girls? Well, that's only 13. Who's the other one?
That's the stork. He wants to be close to his work.
Oh, I see.
Really, Don, you have never seen such a way to live. At dinner last night, I was chewing on a piece of corn on the cob.
Yes?
I looked up, and 3 of Durante's relatives passed me chewing the other way. Oh, such confusion. You take his cousin Bertram now, for instance. His cousin Bertram has completely taken charge of the bathroom. Every morning, I have to get up at 6:30.
6:30?
Yes, at 7 o'clock, the prices change. Oh, it's great. And by the time Durante's relatives get all of their friends into the house, we have 83 people at the breakfast table. They eat at 9 o'clock, and I eat at 10.
Well, why do you eat an hour later?
My end of the table is in a different time zone.
Mm.
I have my donuts just east of Denver. But I think I've got it settled now, Don. I think I've found a place where I can be alone for a change. A lady who owns a Swiss restaurant called me up, and she said she had a small single room that I can have rent-free.
Small single room and it's rent-free?
Yes. All I have to do to get it is stick my head out of the door of the room every hour and yell cuckoo. It's quite a thing. It's going to be dandy. Ah, but Don, why talk about the great schnozzle when its shadow is already upon us? And here it comes, the one and only, Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song. Even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. I'm here to tell you that you stop the music, stop the music, stop the music. When Durante makes his entrance into the Hollywood Bowl, he's got to have class. So play something symphonic. My favorite tune, Tchaikovsky's Fifth.
Well, Schnoz, my friend, welcome to the Hollywood Bowl. I hope you don't feel out of place in this eminent shrine of culture here.
Why, Garrison Moore, how can you speak to me like that? Durante the dilettante. Why, for years... I wish that stopped blowing his script away.
Yeah.
I hope it don't blow a good joke away. Why, for years, every night before I go to bed, I read a page of Shakespeare.
You read a page of Shakespeare every night? Why, Schnoz, you must be quite an authority.
No, but I will be as soon as I finish the page. Why, Junior, hardly a day goes by that I'm not asked to attend some cultural function. I was sitting at home the other afternoon, squirting some oil in my ear. You see, I have a mechanical mind. When Mrs. Van Poppenhuizen of the Cucamonga Book Lover Society called, that's where the wind blew again. She wanted me to be guest lecturer at their club.
Well, Jimmy, I had no idea you mingled with the intelligentsia.
Oh, hardly a literary tea goes by where I'm not invited to slosh the little bag around. I'm glad the wind didn't blow that time.
Well, then, naturally, Jim, naturally, you accepted the invitation of the Cucamonga Book Lovers Society.
Effusively, Junior, effusively.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to make an impression as an artiste, I put on my purple beret, my yellow bandana, my pink flannel slacks, and my peppermint striped jacket with the marshmallow buttons. I'm driving along the boulevard when a cop stops me. Well, he takes one look at my purple beret, yellow bandana, pink flannel slacks, and peppermint striped jacket, and starts writing.
He wrote out a ticket?
No, my phone number. I'm his date at the policeman's ball.
But nevertheless, I soon arrived at Mrs. Van Papenhuyzen's domicile. He put a muffler on the microphone. But nevertheless, I soon arrived at Mrs. Van Papenhuyzen's domicile. And Junior, they looked like earmuffs. If the wind blows once more, I'll put them on myself. But nevertheless, I soon arrived at Mrs. Van Papenhuyzen's domicile.
Yep.
And Junior, there is a woman. Boy, when they made her, they threw away the mold.
They did, huh?
Yeah, and some guy found it, and he's been making smudge pots ever since.
Oh, Durante. Durante, really, the aggregate amount of the cranial matter in your cerebellum is so minute as to practically border upon the infinitesimal.
I loved the Junior, but I never touched the stuff.
Sorry.
But getting back to the continuity, when I walked into that party, Gary, the guests found it hard to believe I was a literary novelist.
Yeah?
You see, John Steinbeck has a mustache, Somerset Maugham has a mustache, and Ernest Hemingway has a mustache.
Well, that's no problem. Why don't you raise a mustache?
I tried to, but it wouldn't grow in a shade. My chest is in jeopardy, too. But for this arty occasion, Mrs. Papenhuyzen hired those international favorites, the Rumshinsky String Quartet. What a group. It consisted of Yasha, Pasha, Sasha, and Clarence.
Oh, no. No, hold it, Jim. Tell me, how did Clarence get in with the Rumshinsky String Quartet?
It was his string. He now keeps his pajamas up with thumbtacks. But, Garrison,
yeah?
I guess I didn't applaud loud enough when the quartet finished playing, because Mrs. Papenhuyzen turned to me, looked at me through a Luna Dune. That's an eyeglass she wears around her neck. And she said, "Mr. Durante, you don't seem to be cognizant of true musical artistry."
Oh? Well, what did you say to that?
I said, "Mrs. Van Papenhuyzen, these boys are very good, but when they're playing for Durante, they're playing for the maestro. Hand me your knitting needles, Mrs. Papenhuyzen. I want to spin a yarn." That's my introduction. I'm sitting in my study, putting the finishing touches to my unfinished symphony, when who walks in? My butler, unannounced. He hands me my copy of the Philharmonic News, which I was eagerly awaiting. And what do I see? Right on the front page, a picture. A group picture. With a headline reading, "Musical America selects the three greatest conductors of all time. Toscanini, Ike Turvey, and me." I'm glad they got recognition, too. There's not a jealous bone in my body. And very few muscles. But after due consideration, I arrived at the conclusion that there's room in this country for more than one great conductor. So, gentlemen, let's bow to the incredible. There's Toscanini, Ike Turvey, and me. We are definitely the big three. At concerts I've seen you applauding my genius. You know, I'll never forget when Toscanini came to me for advice. He said, "Jimmy, when I play the Nutcracker Suite, do I use my left hand or do I use my right hand?" I said, "Neither one. You use a nutcracker." Ah, Durante, you mad fool, you. There's Toscanini, I Turvey, and me. There's Toscanini, I Turvey. They got great outfits. We won't get into a conversory about that. Toscanini's brass section is the talk of the world. Quote. I'm very happy to unquote. But I got a piccolo section that's the talk of the town. Chitty be, chitty be, chitty be, chitty be, chitty be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chitty be, chitty be, chitty be, chitty be, chitty be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. favorite Bergman is listening in. Are you spellbound? Destaskanini, I tell you, don't make me laugh. Can I play piano? No. Can I play piano? Posterity will tell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play a solo on the piano, assisted by that wizard on the drums, Mr. Gary Moore.
The drums, Maestro Moore.
Wait a minute. There's a guy going in business for himself. We'll start again, Mr. Moore. I play the preliminaries. Soft, 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 soft. Wait a minute. One more out voice like that, and the drums go back to Sears and Roebuck. Where's my part? We'll start again, Mr. Moore. Soft. I stand out. Gentlemen, Mr. Moore will not be with us tomorrow night. He was taken unexpectedly wounded. Why, where the Carnegie Hall boys are not on the ball floor. Toscanini, I Turvey and me. Toscanini, I Turvey and me.
Thank you, Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore. And thanks to you, too, Shirley Ross and Victor Borga. Remember, fellas, keep those letters coming our way for those you'd like to hear on Command Performance. Tonight's Command Performance came from the Hollywood Bowl in conjunction with the Community Chest Campaign. This is Don Wilson saying good night, all.
This program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.